This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly La Liga podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook, week six in Spain. Rory Barlow, editor of Football España. Alan Feely, freelance Spanish football journalist, is both alongside myself, Dan Roebuck, to bring you the best value bets across La Liga. It didn't quite work out for us last weekend. We slipped a little, but we are hopeful, expecting to get back on track. We've got a Madrid derby this weekend. It's not one of our official tips this week from Alan or Rory, but we will get to it. We'll give you some thoughts on it towards the end of the podcast. We're going to start with Barcelona-Elche. And I wrote this one, Alan, at the start saying Barcelona, being by Bayern in midweek, looking for a response. And I just looked at one or two figures just before we came on air here. And just looking at the numbers, and I've only seen the goals. I didn't see the whole game, but just looking at some of the numbers, Barcelona may be a bit unlucky to be beaten 2-0 by Bayern. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it is. But I mean, me and Rory have spoken about this during the week. I think that while Barcelona's metrics were impressive and they dominated the game, and as Xavi Hernandez said, they did deserve to win, the reality is winning and losing and drawing isn't down to performance. It's down to ability to win or lose or draw. And at this moment in time, it appears that Barcelona don't have that ability to get games over the line and win games when they need to in the manner that, say, Real Madrid have. Like, I don't believe that winning is the absence of 10% of performance or luck. I believe that winning is an act in itself, if that makes sense, skill in itself. And while this team is highly talented, it's still quite freshly assembled. There's still not the collective ethos that a club like Real Madrid has or a team like Real Madrid has. So I think that while, yeah, you can say they're unlucky, at the end of the day, they weren't, because they didn't take their chances and Bayern Munich did. And that's ultimately really what wins games, because unlike what Jesse Marsh seems to think, that football is an entertainment business, in my opinion, football is about winning the results. That's what distinguishes football from other sports, especially in America, as Ted Bowley might think as well. So for that reason, I think that while Barcelona did play well and they had some positive signs, for sure they can compete with the elite, at the end of the day, this is Barcelona we're talking about, one of the biggest clubs in European football, and they ultimately failed to win where we expected them to.
Coming out swinging this week, Alan.
It is one of those intangibles, isn't it, that will to win. And Real Madrid have got it. Oh, I think we saw that with them in the Champions League this week as well, didn't we, with their late goals. Last week, we thought that Barcelona might not score a lot. They did in the end. Alan, you've gone for a Barcelona win and you've gone overs here. I mean, they're taking on a side here that are plus 2,200 to win this week. Barcelona minus 910. I think it's the shortest price that we've seen so far this season. It's probably the shortest price we've seen for the big five leagues over the course of the campaign so far. So, Alan, talk us through your bet here. What's the selection?
They've gone for Barcelona to beat Elche over 3.5 goals, which is minus 136. It's kind of a no-brainer that they're going to win this game, to be honest with you. I think they'll be stung after losing to Bayern midweek, and they're coming up against one of the worst teams in La Liga. I mean, if you look at the numbers, Barca obviously are second, 1-4, drawn 1, scored 15, conceded only one goal so far, 13 points to their name. Elche lost 4-1 to Athletic Club last time out, and as Rory mentioned in the last podcast, like, Athletic Club are one of the lowest scoring teams in La Liga. And while this season Ernesto Valverde has come in and, you know, really taken them to the next level, you could say, where they're going to be competing for a Europa League or a Europa Conference League place, probably not a Champions League place, I think that to concede 4 goals to them is quite an embarrassing thing, I think, especially in this stage of the season where they've not really clicked in front of the shooting boots just yet. They're 19th in La Liga, drawn 1, lost 4, scored 2, conceded 13, which is 1 point to their name. I really think that Barca have too much for them. You know, they have too much attacking talent, and even if their performance isn't clicking completely well over the course of the first 60 minutes, say, I firmly believe that in the final third of the match, when they bring on all their substitutes, when they'll have maybe probably, you know, some combination of Ansu Fati, Ousmane Dembele, Rafinha, Robert Lewandowski, all on the pitch together, Ferran Torres as well, it's just going to be too much for them. So I think that even though the odds are relatively short, I think it's a pretty safe bet to imagine that they're going to beat Elche, and they're going to want to respond to the defeat to Bayern Munich being weak, and they're going to come out swinging and win a score in a scoreline similar to what they did last weekend at Cadiz, and they won 4-0. So I'm going to go for over 3.5.
Over 3.5 goals, and Barcelona to win here for the last seven for Barca have copped with that. Rory, your thoughts on this one, Barcelona to bounce back from defeat and score goals, do you think?
Yeah, I'm very much along the same lines as Alan here. I think the that sort of short value was sort of half the reason that I kind of stayed away from this, just looking for something else. But I think there's a fairly good chance, and I think it's a fairly safe bet that they will score a fair few goals. So, yeah, I think Alan's probably on the money here. Elche, just to give you an idea of how catastrophic that Athletic defeat was last weekend, for I think it was the third or the fourth goal, it might have been the fourth, the ball bounces off Enzo Rocco's face into the path of the Athletic attacker, and before he finishes it, sort of finishes the bouncing ball. Francisco, the Elche manager, who might not be long for his job as well, sort of throws his arms up in the air, rolls his eyes and kind of turns away. And that was very much a summary of their performance last week. And to ask them to have a reaction against this Barcelona is a mammoth ask, I think.
Robert Lewandowski, incidentally, -375 to score at any time. I think that might be the shortest price I've ever seen for a player to score at any time in a match. That's completely up to you if you want to get involved in the goal scorers, but we're going to take Barcelona to win over 3.5 goals. Let's move on to the game on Friday. Alan, this is Valladolid versus Cadiz. And I suspect here that the selection is more to do with how poor Cadiz are rather than how fantastic Valladolid are, Alan.
Yeah, definitely so. I've gone for Valladolid to beat Cadiz at under 2.5 goals, which is +290. And the reason is because I think that struggling teams and teams who are in the lower classes, say, of La Liga or any division really, tend to be inconsistent and tend to be unable to put runs together. So for that reason, you know, obviously Valladolid lost 2-1 to Girona last weekend. So the logic would be that they could respond this weekend, put up a good performance and get a point or even a win. Similarly, even though Cadiz lost 4-0 to Barcelona, they actually played quite well. Like for the first two thirds of the game, they were actually doing very, very well. And it was only because of a late flurry of goals, as you've often seen with Barca this season, that they actually kind of killed the game off. So for that reason, I think that, you know, I remember the commentators on La Liga TV were saying, Cadiz are actually doing what they're supposed to be doing here. It's more like the team of last season, the season before, as opposed to the team that we've seen this so far this season. So it was a positive performance in a crazy way, and that kind of skewed, you know, imbalance of power in La Liga, you could say. So for that reason, even though they lost 4-0 at home, I think it was actually a positive result in performance for them in a crazy way of saying it. Like any. And Valladolid have more about them than Cadiz this season too. I mean, they're 17th, obviously, just outside the relegation zone. They have one win, one draw, three defeats, you know, three goals scored, 10 conceded, 4 points to their name. Cadiz, five defeats, 14 goals conceded, not a single point to their name, rock bottom of the table. I think that Valladolid are not a great team by any means. They're going to be in a fight for relegation until the very end of the season. But I think that given the diabolical form that Cadiz are in this season, and the fact that it's in the Jose Zorrilla in Valladolid's home stadium, I just fancy them to go and get this result, to be honest with you. So I'm going to go for them to beat Cadiz, but it's going to be under 2.5 goals.
Yeah, get a little bit more value out of the game there. +108 if you just want to back Valladolid to win the game. Unders as well as a home win, +290. Cadiz's XG total this season. Paltry 2.6 if you fancy Valladolid to win to nil. That's +215, but Alan's got +290, which is even bigger, of course. Let's move on to Athletic Club against Rayo. Rory's going to talk us through this one. Athletic Club, only one loss so far this season. They have scored a few goals in a couple of games. Talk us through your selection, Rory.
Yeah, I feel like I've been on Athletic sort of every week, and it's just a matter of how many goals they score. I'm going under 3.5 this time, but I do back them to beat Rayo Vallecano at home at +110. And I think they will have more of a fight against Rayo Vallecano than they did against Elche. Rayo have been good, especially away from home this season. But I think you're starting to see that Rayo are still missing a goal scorer. I think Radamel Falcao, he actually scored the winner in this game last season, but he's yet to really sort of enter into the fray as sort of a serious option for Anthony Iraola up front. Sergio Camello has been sort of deputising for him and hasn't really convinced in front of goal, even though he contributes a lot to their attack. And so I think Rayo will struggle to score at more than one, if any, here. An Athletic Club, we know at home they've only scored 1 in 3, which kind of speaks to their problems when they have a side that's kind of banked in front of them. I think Rayo they won't be sort of 10 men behind the ball all the time, but they will look to hit them on the counter. And so I think it will be a low scoring game here again for Athletic at San Mamés, but I do think they have just enough power. I think the confidence from that Elche win will also sort of inspire them to kind of keep that form going. Alex Berenguer, who scored the fourth goal in that game, has been playing very well. And he's speaking about how confident and relaxed he feels. And I think that kind of goes for a lot of the Athletic team, because even though they've struggled at home, I think the Espanyol defeat was an accident. And I think the Mallorca game, again, similarly, it is their sort of chronic issue, but I back them to solve it more often than not. And that's why I'm going for an Athletic win in this game. I think Rayo are just a wee bit short for this one.
And we like unders as well. +110, that's the value play in Athletic against Rayo. Osasuna, Getafe, the next three picks are on Sunday. Incidentally, sit back, enjoy the action. Hopefully we can win you some money. Osasuna, who started the season well, and I know that both of you like them to do well this season. Alan, before we get into your selection on this one, I mean, they're +2,000 for top four. Is that beyond them, do you think, a top four finish?
I think it is, to be honest with you. I think that the top four race is going to be the proviso of, I would have said before last week, you know, Sevilla, Real Betis and Real Sociedad and Villarreal. But now I think that with Real Sociedad suffering that the loss of Umar Sadiq, their striker who replaced Newcastle United bound Alexander Isak, he's out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. So I think they're really lacking goals this year. And I think they won't be in the conversation for the top four, in my opinion. So it can be down to Sevilla, Betis and Villarreal. I just think Osasuna just won't be able to perform consistently over the course of the whole season. But I think, you know, some teams do defy us. Some teams do surprise us. We've seen that with, you know, Union Berlin in Germany and Freiburg as well. And, you know, Leicester City historically, you know, Brighton as well this season, although obviously Graham Potter leaving has changed that somewhat. Serie A too, you have some surprising candidates kind of staying up and about the top four for the whole course of the season. So it's not unthinkable. And the teams chasing that fourth spot aren't good enough to exclude somebody completely from that race. But if I was putting money on it, I would say they're more likely to be in the Europa League places or Conference League places. So I think that Champions League football is just too much for them this year.
And that will be an achievement itself, I think, just to get European football. You'd like them to win at the weekend. Tell us your bet here.
If they're playing Getafe, I reckon they're going to beat them, and it's going to be over 1.5 goals. So kind of unusual one with the 1.5, and that's why I like it, +155. I mean, obviously, Osasuna aren't the most prolific of teams, but I think that Getafe travelling up to Pamplona to play at El Sadar, it's a pretty intimidating place. It's one of the best atmospheres in Spain. I can just see them getting a really good result, a really strong result, because Getafe aren't having a good season by any means. I mean, obviously, they beat Real Sociedad 2-1 last weekend. But they're 18th, 1-1, drawn 1, lost 3, scored 4, conceded 12, 4 points to their name. Not great numbers, even though Kike Sanchez Flores is a very good coach and he recruited very well over the summer, in my opinion. I thought that they'd be, maybe a top half finish contender this season, but it's not really worked out that way. Osasuna, obviously 4th right now, beat Almeria 1-0 in Almeria last weekend, which is a pretty geographically diverse fixture because obviously Osasuna are based in the very north of Spain, Almeria very south. So they traveled quite a way down to the south of Spain to go and beat them. They've won 4, lost 1, scored 7, conceded 3, 12 points in their name. And the one game they lost was against Real Betis, who are, you know, currently in third place. So, yeah, I really do like Osasuna this season. I've always liked them. I think they're a really good club and really well organized. They have a nice blend of, you know, talented foreigners like Chimi Avila, and then also, you know, homegrown players who really get the club and are really committed to the cause. I would argue there's not many clubs in La Liga who have as many fans of them playing for them as Osasuna. So for that reason, coupled with the positive momentum there, the lack of pressure, the lack of fear, I really reckon they're going to do well this season, and I reckon they're going to beat Getafe and quite well this weekend.
Yeah, plus 155, Osasuna to win, and over 1.5. The goal line is a little shorter than usual here. Not a lot of goals expected, but a 2-0, 2-1 win, 3-1, and so on. We'll get you your money on that one. Villarreal, Sevilla for Rory to tackle next. It was always going to be tight in the game against Betis last week. They face Sevilla. After playing in Europe, and obviously we're recording before that, and they did draw after a trip to Split earlier this season. Is that a concern for you here with Villarreal, or Rory, are we still looking at Sevilla and thinking it's just not clicking at all for them this season? We'd rather oppose them at the moment.
Yeah, I think against sort of Espanyol last weekend, they got the victory and we sort of gave our reasons why we weren't opposing them. The pressure has eased a little bit on Julen Lopetegui just with that victory, but Villarreal are a much different prospect from Espanyol. And even though they are playing a day later and they're playing against Hapoel Beersheba, I don't think Unai Emery will put out his sort of starting team is first 11. And that Betis game, we all know how sort of animated Unai Emery is, and imagine the hair that he was tearing out of his head after that match, because the first half they really should have scored at least two, if not three, goals. And if you want to talk about sort of the act of winning, and as Alan put it earlier, Betis had that over Villarreal. But this Sevilla side are closer to the act of losing than they are to the act of winning, and I think Unai Emery's team will just be too strong. Gerard Moreno will be missing for them. That's a big miss, but I actually think it could benefit them, because I think Jose Luis Morales will get a starting spot as a result. He's been in much better form than Moreno at the start of the season, even though he's not as big a name. And so, yeah, I think Villarreal have to be strong favourites. They're minus 114. I think that's a decent enough price to back them at. And yeah, Julen Lopetegui this week, they drew 0-0 with Copenhagen in Denmark. And he was coming out after the game saying, well, a point is better than losing, which if that's your silver lining to take, you Len, then you're in big trouble.
I must admit, I saw one or two of the highlights from the game last night. It was an absolutely shocking game. I think we had four shots on target for the two teams combined. What's happened to Enneseri these days, Rory? A couple of seasons ago, touted around as someone that potentially could move to England for big money. I don't know if he was injured last season, but he's not scored so far this campaign. What's happened with him?
He struggled a lot with injuries last season, but I think most of us were somewhat confused by the fact that Sevilla didn't take West Ham up on a 40 million offer, because all of us, I think almost all of us in the Spanish football community, have seen him as a streaky striker. And when he gets on a run, he can be pretty dangerous and he can score goals, but in a Sevilla side that doesn't create many chances, that quite often keeps the ball and sort of puts it on themselves to break down a team. And this series, a guy who likes running in space, he likes getting in behind the defence and attacking the box as kind of like an early ball kind of thing, and really dominating his central defenders. So he's playing in a lineup that doesn't really suit him in terms of what his best skills are. And for a side that's low on confidence and struggling generally in attack, not just him. So yeah, his drop off is somewhat expected, I think, but it's the fact the sort of team situation is contributing to his lack of goals too.
Also, during that season when he was scoring a flurry of goals, he was scoring it was two or three games where he scored three or four goals in one each game. So like the number was vastly inflated by, you know, a couple of freak performances. And also as a striker, I mean, Enneziri's selling point is his physicality. Like, he's really, really strong and really, really fast. He's a really, really good athlete. But technically, I've never been impressed by him as a footballer. His first touch isn't great. His finishing ability isn't great. He doesn't have the hallmarks of a top-class forward who's going to sustain his form over multiple seasons, you know. So for that reason, I agree with Rory. I think everyone was thinking Sevilla should take this money. Like, he's not that much of a loss, but they didn't. And he's still there and he's not scoring enough goals. So, yeah.
Is Isak the same, do you think? He's just gone to Newcastle, because you two guys are thinking, when he left for Spanish football society, I got a fantastic, La Real got a great deal on that. When you still on that train?
I think Isak, I mean, obviously he is very strong and very quick, probably could bulk up a little bit, but I think his ceiling is much, much higher. He's younger, first of all. He also plays with real intelligence and he inspires fear that En-Nesyri never did. I mean, Rory can have his opinion too, but I think that if things click for Isak, and they have done so far from the Newcastle, I mean, he scored some very good goals for them. I really think that he could be a top class forward. The question is, if it clicks, if he can maintain a goal scoring form consistently. But I think it's not fair to compare them in terms of profiles or qualities, because he's several echelons above, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, Rory? I 100% agree with that, to be honest. I think Isak, yeah, I have my doubts about him being able to put that sort of form of a top four together for at least another sort of one or two seasons. We forget that he's still very young. He's only sort of 21, 22. So he's got years until he can mature into that sort of 28 sort of zone where he'll be at his peak. And he could be a top class forward at that point. I have my doubts about how quickly that will come, but he does have bags of technical ability. He can sort of turn a defender inside out if he wants to. And yeah, he's a much different prospect. And the Siri, he sort of came from Leganés. He sort of fought his way to the position he's in. Alexander Isak, sort of very young age, moved to Borussia Dortmund, which kind of shows you the difference in talent evaluation that I think Europe's top clubs have had.
En-Nesyri, incidentally, plus 750 to score the first goal. And given the fact that we've just absolutely done him there, you know he's going to score. He's plus 270 to score at any time. But I take your point. I think he's absolutely right. Rory, one more pick for us before we have a look at the Madrid derby. This is Betis Girona that you're going to look at here. Betis has been excellent so far this season. Obviously, they play in Europe as well tonight, but you've not gone in the win-draw-win market, the match market, but you are looking for goals in this one.
Yeah, I've gone over 2.5. It's plus 140, and I think Betis are probably a good shout to win, and if you want to back them, then by all means, do so. But I think this will be a very open game. Betis will be in action again on Thursday night, which I think contributes to the fact that there will perhaps be rotations for Betis. It won't be their strongest side. You add that into the fact that Nabil Fekir is still missing. Juanmi is sort of out until January or so. So this is going to be a rotated side. The likes of Luis Enrique might start, and he's good, but he's raw. So I think this will be a bit more back and forth. Girona, I do think this is one of the best games to watch this weekend, actually, because I think Girona, under Michel Sanchez, do seek out the opponent. They look to get on the ball as well. They look to come forward. And although it won't be sort of toe-to-toe, they will probably sit back at various points. Most games, I think, in La Liga have sort of a tilt. So one team is attacking with the ball for the majority of the time, and one team is more or less counter-attacking. This one, I think, is slightly more balanced in the sense that even though Girona don't have the resources, they are very ambitious with how they try to play. And so I think the combination of those two things, even though Girona are missing Cristian Stuani, who's their sort of key goal threat, and Betis are missing a couple of sort of good attacking players as well, I think the pressure will be on Betis to sort of score a couple goals here. And Girona will try and give them a good game as well. So I think 2-1 is a very much a likely scoreline.
Yeah, expected goal metric would suggest that Betis have been fortunate to only concede 3. Their XGA is 7. Excuse me, this season. We like over 2.5 goals, plus 140. We're going to finish with the Madrid derby. We'll get the boys' thoughts on this one. Not official selections for us, but obviously it is the big game of the weekend on Sunday night. This is the biggest price we've seen Real all season at plus 150. Atleti plus 195. Give us your thoughts, Alan, first up on the Madrid derby this weekend.
Well, my logic tells me one thing and my instinct tells me another thing. So I think that logic dictates that Madrid will win this game comfortably. They've started the season so well. There seems to be no problems behind the scenes. Even the absence of Karim Benzema was compensated for pretty seamlessly. They obviously won 2-0 last night against RB Leipzig and Santiago Bernabeu. So they were staying in Madrid for this week. Conversely, Atletico Madrid are a bit of a mess this year. They're very inconsistent, lurching from one result to another. They obviously lost 2-0 to Club Brugge No, sorry, to
Leverkusen.
Bayer Leverkusen during the week, and they travelled to Germany to lose the game as well. So the camp won't be in a great mood, but the thing with Atletico is that this almost suits them in a way. I know it's cliche, but I think that playing at the Civitas Metropolitano on Sunday evening in front of a packed crowd, a very aggressive, pretty, you know, annoyed crowd, you could say, will create this really febrile atmosphere. It's going to be backs against the wall, you know, underdogs, you know, trying to upset the odds. And given Atletico's inconsistency this season, like they have lurched from a bad result to a good result, you know, similar to what I was saying about Valladolid and Cadiz earlier. So I think that for that reason, I can see Atletico getting a draw. I think a victory is beyond them, but I can see them getting a draw because I think for Madrid to maintain this pace of winning every single week, like they won five games in a row, they're opening five games, so it's only the second time this century. The last time, I think it was in 2009, 2010. So that's very difficult pace to sustain. You know what I mean? So I think that for that reason, if I was betting on this one this week, and I didn't pick it, obviously, because I'm a bit of a coward in that sense after our bad performance last weekend. But I would say I would go for a draw. I would go for a draw. A spirited draw, I would say.
+230, biggest price outside of three if you want to back the draw in the derby. Rory, your thoughts on the big game this weekend?
Yeah, it is a very tough one to call because I look at Real Madrid and they just have that sort of winning gene, as Alan sort of mentioned at the start. They have that 10%. But then I also look at the two games that they've just played against RB Leipzig without Karim Benzema. Both of those games were won kind of pretty late on for Real Madrid in the last kind of 20 minutes. They were both sort of opened, to use this kind of Spanish phrase, the games were opened by individual marks of brilliance from Fede Valverde and then Vinicius to sort of seal the matches. And so relying on an individual brilliance is one thing. And if you're Real Madrid, it's going to work out more often than not. But you always do sort of, without Karim Benzema especially, who's a doubt for this match, relying on that against a sort of packed Atleti defence, as Alan says, in that kind of febrile atmosphere, it's very tricky for me to get behind that 100%, which is why I've stayed away from this game. I think Real Madrid do have sort of weaknesses at the back, and Leipzig exposed that pretty well, but just kind of failed to finish them off. And I think there was one key phrase from Diego Simeone's post-match presser against Bayer Leverkusen. He said that we lost the game going out to try and win it, and perhaps that he would have preferred to defend and win defending. And so I think Atleti will very much abandon all sort of pressure on them to go and seek this game out, to go and try and take the game to Real Madrid. They will defend deep, try and hit them on the counter. And I think João Félix will have sort of plenty of space to work with. And I think we could see a sort of similar type of game to the one where they beat Barcelona 2-0 last season at the Metropolitano, when Barcelona sort of attacked. They had loads of the ball. Atleti essentially gave it to them. But Barcelona didn't have that sort of element of surprise or creativity to beat them with. And although Real Madrid do have Vinicius and they do have Valverde in incredible form, relying on sort of two players to break down an entire defence is a risky business. And so, yeah, I do quite like a draw. I think unders is not a bad market to go at either. But yeah, I really struggled to call this game, but inevitably it will end 1-0 to Real Madrid in the 94th minute or something.
Unders is 118, incidentally. Atleti tie double chances is -180. And if you fancy 0-0 at half-time, it's round about -190 as well. So we think it's going to be tight. That's the Madrid derby, of course, on Sunday night. Fellas, many thanks for your company. Let's get your social media details. Alan, where can everyone find you?
At Azulfeely, AZULFEEHELY on Twitter.
And Rory?
Get me on at Rory Barlow, RURI, Barlow as in Gary.
That wraps it up for the La Liga podcast for this week. We're not back next week, of course, because we've got an international break. But I know the boys will be on looking at some Nations League fixtures. We'll be back in a fortnight's time for more picks in the Spanish top flight. Don't forget, keep across all of the BetRivers content at Because We Win. Speak to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.